to speak on the mindfulness of feelings. This is very important topic to concentrate. As I mentioned this morning, at any given moment we experience some feeling or another. Whether we are sitting, standing, walking, lying down, talking, eating, drinking, you know, wearing clothes, even when we observe silence, we experience one kind of feeling or another. The breath itself is not visible, but can be felt. As we breathe in and out, we feel the breath. Even when we see objects with our eyes, we feel. When we hear a sound, we feel. Taste, smell, touch, even the thoughts, we feel. Any moment any of our senses come in contact with sensory object, because of this combination, there arises feeling. If the object or experience in contact with the object happens to be pleasant, it is a pleasant feeling. If it is unpleasant, it is unpleasant feeling. If the contact happens to be neutral, it is neutral feeling. Now, the pleasantness, unpleasantness, or the neutrality of feelings does not necessarily always depend on the objects. Objects have a certain part to play, but our state of mind makes it generally pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Because of this, not every object generates pleasant, unpleasant feeling, or unpleasant feeling, or neutral feeling in every person's mind. When we see an object, when 10 different people look at the object, perceive the object, they will have different feelings. One may feel pleasant, one unpleasant, one may feel neutral. This depends on the person's state of mind. That is why different people express different opinions, different feelings on the same object. When they see the same object, they will have different feelings. Similarly, when they hear sounds, they express different feelings. Taste, touch, smell, and so forth. That is why I think it was Socrates who said, don't argue on tastes or touch or feelings, because different people have different feelings with regard to the same object. Now, the feeling also is important for another reason. That is, the first reason, of course, we have to understand the differences of feeling It depends on differences in the state of mind of individuals. Secondly, it is important to know that it is the feeling which makes the difference between a mindful person and unmindful person. When the feeling arises, an unmindful person reacts one way and the mindful person reacts another way. When an object is present to the senses, form, sound, smell, taste, touch and thought are present, unmindful person always looks for pleasantness and becomes attached to the pleasantness. If the experience happens to be pleasant, either due to the conditions of the object or due to the conditions of the mind, when the pleasant sensation or pleasant feeling arises, unmindful person becomes attached to it. Therefore it is said sukhaya vedana raga anusayo anuseti. In the pleasant sensation, greed, anuseti means lies, sleeps with the pleasant sensation. In other words, pleasant sensation is accompanied by greed. So the unmindful person becomes attached to the object because of the greed. This is not something unusual. This is what is happening all the time, everywhere. When a pleasant sensation arises, people become attached to the pleasant sensation, because people are not mindful of the nature of the pleasant sensation. And pleasant sensation, therefore, always is accompanied, not all pleasant sensations, some pleasant sensations are accompanied by greed, clinging, craving, attachment. So the mindful person would be able to make the differentiate the pleasant experience from the attachment to the pleasant experience. So pleasant sensation, when pleasant sensation arises, why one allows attachment, clinging, craving, greed to arise, why one nourishes the root of greed, clinging, when the pleasant sensation arises? Because the person does not understand the nature of pleasant sensation. Pleasant sensation is pleasant when it is there. The moment you experience it, moment you get caught in it and get carried away with it and stay with it unmindfully, the pleasant sensation is pleasant. But as long as you don't become mindful and don't understand the nature of the pleasant sensation, because of this pleasantness when you experience it, you become attached to it. But the pleasant sensation becomes unpleasant sensation when it changes. Because pleasant sensation doesn't stay the same all the time. It changes. And therefore, when you are unmindfully attached to the pleasant sensation without thinking for a moment that this pleasant sensation, this pleasant feeling is going to change, since you become attached to it, as soon as it changes, it hits you very hard. You feel it very, very bad. You experience tremendous pain. And you go through a big shock and grief, sorrow, lamentation, pain, despair arises. It is very pleasant when you experience it. It is very pleasant. And when you are experiencing, you never think mindfully that this pleasant sensation is pleasant now. But when it changes, it becomes unpleasant. You never think of it. So you become attached to it, thinking only of one side of it. You don't see the other side. When the other side hits you unexpectedly, unpleasant part of the pleasant sensation is hidden. That is the undercurrent. So it flips over. When it flips over, then you get a shock. When we say that, sometimes people might think, well, what should we do when we have pleasant sensation? Should we reject it? Should we turn our back to it and say, I don't deserve to experience pleasant sensation. It is going to change. Therefore, should I shun it, throw away? What should I do with that when the pleasant sensation arises? In fact, you don't have to react. When you react to pleasant sensation, one way or the other, you are not facing the reality. You don't have to deny when the pleasant sensation arises. Don't deny the pleasant sensation. Don't try to run away from it. Don't say that you don't deserve to enjoy, to have pleasant sensation. That is the other extreme of extreme reaction to the pleasant sensation. When you mindfully experience the pleasant sensation, all you have to do is to experience it exactly as it is, knowing that it is pleasant, but knowing at the same time that it is going to change. So this is what I call a very mature, adult, mindful attitude towards the pleasant sensation. Knowing that it is going to change. When it changes, it's okay. You cannot stop it. There's no way to stop that sensation. It is going to change. So, when your mindfulness is very strong, mindfulness also grows, and you grow with the mindfulness. You are mature with mindfulness. When the mindfulness grows, you mature with mindfulness, then no matter how beautiful the pleasant the sensation is, you don't react to it. You accept it exactly as it is. This is what is called seeing things as they really are. You see the pleasant sensation as it is, but don't reject it in anticipation of its change, its disappearance, but use it. Don't become slave to the pleasant sensation, but let the pleasant sensation be slave of you. When it goes away, you stay. Don't fall back or don't get hurt when it disappears, changes into unpleasant sensation. You know, I think I have mentioned in the past several times in my Dhamma talks that one who always was mindful was the Buddha, and he experienced pleasant sensation just like anybody else, even better. Because when the mindfulness is developed, our senses becomes very sharp, very keen, very strong, very powerful, and with this keen, powerful senses, we experience things more sharply, more deeply, more profoundly. That's what the Buddha did. He experienced pleasant sensation just like anybody else. Therefore, with regard to the Buddha, it is said, Rupa Patisangvedi Tathagato na Rupa Raga Patisangvedi. Saddha Patisangvedi Tathagato na Saddha Raga Patisangvedi. Rasa Patisangvedi Tathagato na Rasa Raga Patisangvedi. That means, that goes with everything else. That means Buddha knew the pleasantness of forms, sounds, smell, taste, touch and thought of the world. When your mindfulness is matured, and when you grow with the mindfulness, the world is not going to disappear. The world will be the same. It has whatever it has. It continues to have things in it. But you change, your attitude change, your perception changes. And therefore, in the case of the Buddha, it is said that he experienced these things fully well and yet did not react with greed, clinging, craving, because that underlying tendency is not there. The pleasant sensation has the underlying tendency of greed. When the mindfulness is developed, that underlying tendency of greed is no longer there. You would not react with that underlying tendency to pleasant sensations. You cannot react with underlying tendency of greed to that sensation, because you have already learned to tame, control, or weaken, minimize that underlying tendency of greed towards pleasant sensation. And that is why all the time when we train ourselves in mindfulness, whether we are sitting, standing, walking, lying down, washing dishes, washing clothes, talking with people, walking, whatever we do, we experience in any of these postures, any of these places, we experience pleasant sensation. We can experience pleasant sensation. And at the same time, while experiencing it, we should not allow the underlying tendency of greed to overpower us, overwhelm us. By the way, the feelings arises not only in sitting. Sometimes you may think that mindfulness should be done only in sitting. Don't eliminate other postures, other situations. Every moment, 24 hours of the day, if you, every waking moment, you experience certain feelings. Every moment, you experience certain feelings, not only in one place of the body, or you don't have to create feelings in one particular part of the body, or you don't have to control, generate, command, or guide your mind through the body to see sensations. From top to toes, you don't have to do that. You got to experience sensation as it arises. It has to be very natural sensation, natural feeling, not guided feeling, not controlled feeling. Because feeling, you cannot control all the time. It arises without giving prior notice. It don't give you any advanced notice, or you don't have to control it. If your mindfulness is sharp and deep and keen, you can use it at any time, anywhere, whenever, wherever the sensation arises, whether it is head or hand or toes or stomach or forehead, or it doesn't matter. So, with regard to the pleasant sensation, we must remember pleasant sensation is accompanied with underlying tendency of greed, attachment, clinging. That we got to remember. And that is what we should not be succumbed to. We should not become slave to our greed when pleasant sensation arises. Neither should we reject the pleasant sensation when it arises. We with the full awareness, mindfulness, we must know the degree and extent of that pleasant sensation and experience it exactly as it is, without any emotional reaction, without any greed, clinging, craving to it. Nothing wrong with that. That is what is called very healthy way of experiencing the pleasant sensation, dealing with the pleasant sensation. When we are unmindful, when the pleasant sensation arises, we overly react to the pleasant sensation and get carried away with the pleasant sensation, and sometimes we behave very unmindfully with the pleasant sensation. But if we are mindful, we deal with it sufficiently to the degree and extent of its experience, and we don't overreact, overly jubilant, overly emotional to the pleasant sensation. We just learn to handle it exactly as it is. Because we know when the pleasant sensation is pleasant, beautiful, pleasing to us, only when it is there. When the pleasant sensation changes, pleasant feeling changes, it turns into unpleasant feeling, unpleasant sensation. Then, if we had been overly reacting to the pleasant sensation, when it changes, we will be on the other side of the spectrum, and we experience tremendous pain, undue pain, too much pain, unacceptable, unbearable. We become very, very painful. To avoid that, when the pleasant sensation arises, notice it, don't overly react, don't reject, and always keep in the at the back of your mind that this pleasant sensation is pleasant, beautiful now, but it will change. It will change. When you have this kind of attitude, when it changes, you won't react very emotionally. It will not make you very, very painful. When unpleasant sensation arises, it is unpleasant. As long as it is there, it is unpleasant. The underlying tendency of unpleasant sensation is aversion, resentment, grief, sorrow, lamentation, pain, when unpleasant sensation arises. But when unpleasant sensation persists during as long as it exists, we know mindfully this unpleasant sensation has its underlying tendency of aversion, resentment, anger, and we should not get carried away with that resentment, anger, aversion towards the unpleasant sensation. But you cannot do anything about it. If it is unpleasant, it is unpleasant. Without emotionally reacting to unpleasant sensation, notice it, observe it, pay attention to it, just as you paid attention to the pleasant sensation. An enlightened person, mindful person who is fully matured in mindfulness will definitely have unpleasant sensation. You cannot overcome sensations, no matter how mindful you are. There will come a stage where you may not feel anything. That is a different thing, different issue. But as long as you have sensation feelings, if it is unpleasant, when we practice mindfulness, we learn to deal with the unpleasant sensation as matured persons, persons with emotionally stable, persons with mindful, developed mindfulness. We should be able to look at the unpleasant sensation. And we know unpleasant sensation is unpleasant as long as it persists, it exists. During the time it exists, it is unpleasant. When unpleasant sensation changes, it becomes pleasant. And we know that. We know that not from books, not from listening to lectures, but from our experience. We experience ourselves pleasant sensation and as unpleasant sensation. We have experienced many thousands of times in our life. From our previous experiences, we know every unpleasant sensation was unpleasant when it exists. When it changed, it turns into pleasant sensation or pleasant feeling. Knowing that, we don't try to reject, we don't try to develop resentment, anger, disappointment towards the unpleasant sensation. We learn to deal with it with equanimous attitude, mature attitude, with mindfulness. When we are mindful, certain words become very painful. Certain appearance become painful. Certain smell, certain taste, certain touch, certain thought definitely are painful. Just like certain thoughts, sound, smell, taste and so forth are pleasant, certain other form, sounds, smell, taste, touch, and thought can be unpleasant, either due to our own state of minds, or due to the sensory objects, or due to both, or due to some other circumstantial environmental factors. Certain things can become unpleasant naturally. We don't create them, we don't make them unpleasant, but they become unpleasant due to many uncontrollable factors. There are many variable factors which can make things unpleasant. So sometimes we may know some of them, sometimes most of them we don't know, and yet all we know is this unpleasantness that we experience. And at that time, with
mindfulness, we learn to deal with it without developing resentment. That unpleasant sensation can arise while we are sitting, standing, walking, lying down, talking, eating, drinking, wearing clothes, going to bathrooms. Anytime, unpleasant sensation can arise. And therefore, when we develop mindfulness of feelings, mindfulness of sensation, don't wait till you sit down to do that. Don't try to control unpleasant sensation from top to toe. So don't try to create unpleasant sensation from top to toes, from here and there. It is not controlled unpleasant sensation, created unpleasant sensation. It is the unpleasant sensation that arises by itself, naturally, normally, at any part of the body, at any given moment, anywhere, in any posture. As it arises, we must learn to deal with it. Meaning, we must handle it without resentment. Don't develop the underlying tendency of resentment, anger, disappointment to the unpleasant sensation whenever it arises. Mindfulness meditation does not simply mean sitting in one place and focusing mind on the breath all the time. Mindful meditation is a way, very practical, very powerful. Sensations as well as they arise. So the underlying tendency, then we have in between these two, pleasant sensation and unpleasant sensation, there is another sensation, another feeling, which normally we don't talk about. Most people even don't think about it. Some people think that there is no such thing as a sensation, anything other than pleasant or unpleasant. Our feelings. By the way, when we talk about sensation, we use feeling and sensation interchangeably, because in Pali we base our explanation of sensation on the Pali words. In Pali, in the Buddha's teaching, in Pali there's only one word. This is called Vedana. Vedana is translated into English as sensation, but it includes also feelings. According to Western psychology, feeling is so psychological, sensation is physical. We include both in the word feelings. So sometimes people talk about a kind of feeling, mixed feelings. According to Pali tradition or Buddhist tradition, there is no such thing as mixed feelings. It is either pleasant or unpleasant or neutral. Neither pleasant nor unpleasant. When the neutral feeling or neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling arises, there is an underlying tendency of ignorance in it. The underlying tendency of ignorance is based on the notion of self. Neither pleasant nor unpleasant sensation or feeling is attributed to the perception or to the concept of self, and therefore ignorance is associated with it. Self is the notion that also is an outcome of ignorance. So ignorance and self are in related sort of cousins, related to each other. So when neither pleasant nor unpleasant sensation arises, it has its own underlying tendency, which is ignorance. Now, therefore, when neither pleasant nor unpleasant sensation arises, we should not get carried away with ignorance. We have to look at that neither pleasant nor unpleasant sensation exactly as we looked at the pleasant sensation and unpleasant sensation, without getting carried away with ignorance, without rejecting it, without succumbing to it, without getting carried away with it, without thinking that we have attained certain supramundane states and so forth. We just looked at it mentally as it is, because this neutral, what we call neutral feeling sometimes, is not going to be neutral all the time. Neutral feeling changes exactly like any other feelings. And therefore, as long as it is neutral, we have neutral feeling, but when it changes into either pleasant sensation or unpleasant sensation. For instance, at any given, most of the time we have neutral feeling, neither pleasant nor unpleasant, just something we feel. And when we stay with that, then something happens, then it changes into either pleasant or unpleasant. And we got to look at it exactly as we looked at the pleasant sensation or unpleasant sensation, without reacting with ignorance. Now, Buddha's advice is, when we cultivate mindfulness, we must learn to get rid of the underlying tendency of greed from pleasant sensation. Then we must understand, however, at the same time, there are pleasant sensations where greed is not present. There are pleasant feelings where greed is not present, or greed is not their underlying tendencies. What kind of pleasant sensation, what kind of pleasant feeling is that? You know, that is what we are aiming at. We want to get that pleasant feeling. That pleasant feeling, that pleasant sensation, which does not have greed as its underlying tendency. What is that? It has two levels. One is when you attain jhanas, when you concentrate, when your concentration is deepened and attain a state of jhanas, there the underlying tendency of greed is not present, but you experience tremendous peace, joy, happiness. In that joy and happiness, that in that concentration, the greed is suppressed. It has become, it is nullified, weakened. It's not, it's dormant, it's not present. And therefore, when we achieve that, it is very beautiful, pleasant, peaceful, serene, calm. The body and mind are composed, quiet. The concentration is very powerful, strong, and the greed is not present. But greed greed doesn't have to be completely eliminated to have that experience. Greed doesn't have to be eliminated to have that experience of pleasantness, of concentration, attaining absorption, concentration stage of jhanas. And there is unpleasant sensation, unpleasant feelings, where resentment is not present. What is that unpleasant sensation, unpleasant feeling, where resentment is not present? Jhana, of course, is not unpleasant, so you cannot say it is jhanic experience. But what is that? That is what is called niramisa dukkha in Pali. Niramisa dukkha. Niramisa dukkha, dukkha means unpleasantness, unhappiness. Happiness, unhappiness, neutral feeling, also divided into samisa and niramisa. Pleasant sensation associated with the worldly experiences, form, sound, taste, touch, smell, and thoughts of the worldly things, is called pleasant sensation with worldly pleasant sensation. Sam is a sukha, worldly pleasant sensation. Then there is otherworldly pleasant sensation. That means the pleasant sensation arises not out of any worldly experiences. Form, smell, taste, sound, touch, and so forth. For instance, when one attains the jhana through concentration meditation, that pleasant sensation does not is not related to anything outside the world, outside ourselves, in the world, not related to that. It arises within our own mind, from its own source, from its own base, which is not related to anything in the world. And therefore, that pleasant experience, pleasant sensation, is called niramisa. Niramisa means otherworldly or sensation unrelated to worldly experiences. Similarly, there is unpleasant sensation, unpleasant feeling, not related to the world, and therefore it is called niramisa dukkha. Dukkha means unhappiness, unpleasantness, that arises not due to external stimuli, sensory stimuli, but that sensation arises, that unpleasant sensation arises from another source. That is, when you gain, try to gain concentration, you try to gain mindfulness, you try to eliminate all psychic irritants, your resentment, disappointment, anger, greed, and jealousy, fear, and so forth. You strive very hard practicing mindfulness for a long period of time, following all the instructions very meticulously, spending a lot of time, very sincerely, honestly, you practice mindfulness for a long period of time. And you find you are still in the same place where you started, have not made any progress. You are in plateau, no progress. That is sort of a frustration, disappointment. That frustration, that disappointment, that feeling is called spiritual unpleasant sensation, spiritual unpleasant feeling. You have nobody to blame in the world for this. for everything else you can blame somebody. You are not there. Therefore, when you stop take, when you take stock, when you look at yourself and you look back, check your checklist to see where you went wrong, you have not gone wrong anywhere. Everything you did very clearly, perfectly, but time is not ripe. You got to have patience. When you are mindful, you know that. Only when you are unmindful in this in this kind of situation, you get upset, disappointed. But when you are mindful in this situation, you know, I'm not ready. Why should I get upset? This is it. The other day I saw, there was a cartoon, beautiful cartoon somebody has made. I put it in my office. Two meditators sitting and meditating, and long time. So one says, "It's a cartoon, beautiful cartoon somebody has made. I put it in my office." Two meditators sitting and meditating, and long time. So one says, "Nothing has happened. This is it." I don't know whether you have seen that cartoon. That is a mindful expression. You practice and practice and practice, you have not gone anywhere. So you know, this is it. When you have that, you don't have resentment towards the unpleasant sensation. Unpleasant, spiritual, unpleasant sensation. So if you don't have a great success in meditation, mindfulness meditation, at least try to have that attitude. You know, that's a very beautiful attitude. Neutral attitude, unbiased attitude, equanimous attitude, attitude towards the reality, to accept the reality exactly as it is. Nothing wrong in that. You will realize, you will experience, you will go through the same thing, this meditation, this retreat. Perhaps towards the end of the retreat you might not get anything. Don't be disappointed. Don't blame yourself. Just try to accept. That acceptance itself is a great achievement. That acceptance will break through that problem, that difficulties. That may be your starting point for the next step, for the next chapter of your meditation. And therefore, don't expect always something pleasant, something beautiful, something successful, something to accomplish. If you accomplish, you accept. If you don't accomplish, accept that too. Don't worry. So, the third is, when you have neutral feeling, every neutral feeling has neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling. I said there is a underlying tendency of ignorance. But not every pleasant or unpleasant or neither pleasant nor unpleasant feeling has the underlying tendency of ignorance. But there are certain neither pleasant nor unpleasant sensations which do not have ignorance as underlying tendency. What is that? That is, when the mindfulness is developed, cultivated, you establish yourself in mindfulness, then
the underlying tendency of ignorance is not present there. Why? You have realized the non-existence of this permanent eternal self. Through the deep, powerful mindfulness, you penetrate, you break through that perception, that sensation, that concept, you break through that. Until you break through that concept, the underlying tendency of ignorance continues to exist. Sometimes the underlying tendency of attachment can persist even in higher stages of meditation. There is a very beautiful sutra in Majjhima Nikaya, which is called Ananja Sappaya Sutta. Ananja Sappaya means the method or path or the way of attaining imperturbability, imperturbable state. The mind becomes unshakable, steady, firm, like a rock, which would not be shaken by wind. So, Buddha gave steps of attaining that stage. And then Venerable Ananda, his personal attendant, was there and he asked the Buddha, "Sir, suppose someone knows that such and such a thing I did not get in the past. I did not get such and such a thing in the past." You know, many people, when they don't get certain things in the past at certain stage in their life, they regret. "Well, I have come to such a stage now in my life, but still I have not got such and such a thing in my life." They regret. So Venerable Ananda says, suppose someone realizes that I did not get such and such thing in my life and says to himself, "Well, it doesn't matter, I don't care." Or someone thinks, "In future I will not get such and such a thing." Then he would think to himself, "Well, it doesn't matter to me whether I get such and such a thing or not." That means whether he got something in the past or whether he will get something in the future or not, the person would not worry. The person will have an equanimous attitude. Then Venerable Ananda says, suppose someone has that kind of equanimous attitude, can that equanimous feeling that arises from the feeling for not having certain things, feeling for not getting something in future, equanimous neutral feeling. Then Venerable Ananda asked the Buddha, can such a person attain total liberation, enlightenment, become an arahant? Then Buddha said, "Well, some can, some cannot." So Venerable Ananda asked, "How come some cannot?" He said, "Some have attachment to that equanimity. Even equanimity becomes an object of attachment to some people because of the equanimous feeling. The equanimous feeling is so peaceful feeling. Sometimes people can become attached even to that peaceful feeling. And that attachment is a hindrance, a stumbling block to the further spiritual progress." Spiritual progress is a very, very beautiful thing. We must always remember, like a climbing a ladder. You know, when we climbing a ladder,
we always stand on one rung, and when we want to go to the higher rung, we must let go of the lower rung and take the step and put it on the other rung, and take the hand off the holding rung and hold the upper rung. If because of the standing rung and holding rung happens to be very pleasant, if you hold on to them, you will never go. You will get stuck there. Even in spiritual training, spiritual practice, and you come to a certain stage, certain things are so beautiful, so pleasant. Don't get stuck there. Let go of that and go to the higher stage. So, even pleasant sensation, pleasant feeling, though it is beautiful, don't cling to it. I think this may be suffice for this afternoon for Dhamma talk, and you may have plenty of questions. If you have any, write down and put in the box. We try to answer in the evening. And we see what we can do. Thank you.